Welcome to North Country Commerce, a business community affairs program brought to you by Denton Publications. I'm your host, Jeremiah Papinaw, and with me today is my guest, Jeannie Roberts, director of the North Country chapter of the American Red Cross. Welcome, Jeannie.
Thank you.
Now, today we're talking about an organization that's been around for quite some time. People have heard the name. They know it's affiliated with the National Red Cross. But really, sometimes they don't necessarily know what the Red Cross is all about. And that's why we brought Jeannie here, because if anybody knows Red Cross, it's Jeannie. So if you could, Jeannie, give our listeners a little bit of a background, especially, you know, on the local Red Cross.
Well, the local Red Cross was founded by Ada Rogers, who is a native of Ausable Forks, in June of 1916. So we've been serving the North Country community for 94 years, mm-hmm. and obviously changed very much over the years. And one of the reasons that Red Cross changes is because we need to continue to meet the need in the community. And so, as I understand it from reading a lot of the history, there was a small little chapter in every town in Clinton County, and once a year they would come in for their annual meeting in June, and they would meet at then the Cumberland Hotel, which is now a parking lot. Mm-hmm. And the annual budget, the one that I can remember, was like $203 for the year,
wow.
Which is amazing to me. And, you know, if you read through the chronicles that we have here on the history, it's amazing the number of people who have been involved in this chapter over the years. And it just, people who have been involved with the written pen have taken extraordinary care to make sure that we all know the story of what has happened over the years. So it's good reading if you like history.
That's true.
Good reading if you like history. But and now here we are, much a few years ago, and actually in 2001, with guidance from National, we were merged again. And now we cover all of Clinton, all of Franklin, and the 13 northern townships of Essex County, which is 3,439 square miles and approximately 160,000 people.
That is amazing.
It is. It is. It's a little overwhelming some days. But we have, and one of the reasons that we can, that we have the ability to do what we do in the North Country is because of the extraordinary volunteers that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We could not do what we do without our volunteers. And that's from the board of directors to our disaster volunteers to our on-call volunteers, all of our CPR and first aid instructors, and all of the volunteers who support the folks who have a lifeline unit in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably have around 600 volunteers, mm-hmm. and there are two full-time people here, and that includes me, mm-hmm. and three part-time.
I see.
And so, yes, we have changed tremendously over the years. Our programs and services have changed based on not only local needs but national needs. Like when CPR was started, that was something that was incorporated into one of the programs that we do. And over the years, due to medical science, some of the way that we do CPR has changed, or first aid, or those kinds of things. Certainly swimming and waterfront safety all have changed over the years, but they're pretty much a part of the core of what we provide here in the community.
That's amazing. And like you said, you know, 600 sounds like, I mean, any organization would love 600 volunteers. But like you said, for the amount of territory you cover,
mm-hmm.
and the amount that you do, I mean, I know recently there was a fire in the city, and, you know, the Red Cross was there to help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people know about the Red Cross being there to help in those kind of events. But what else does the Red Cross do?
Well, last year we taught 7,390 individuals how to save a life, either through CPR, first aid, worked with a lot of our summer camps, taught children, children learned to swim with Red Cross programs. We teach lifeguard, we teach waterfront safety. We have a great babysitting course that we teach at the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
This year we are actually, we just had an instructor course, and one of the instructors is now going to start teaching pet first aid.
Oh, really?
And we do have the mannequins.
Oh.
And they're very quiet. They're very wonderful. But, you know, and there are a lot of other programs that National has that unless they're wanted here in this community, we don't necessarily provide them.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, what works here is the basic CPR course. We try to do two instructor courses a year,
mm-hmm.
and so that once you get the basic course, you can become an instructor, then you can teach for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have over 100 volunteer instructors right now. Mm-hmm. And then if you're an instructor and you want to go yet to another level, we can teach you what we call an instructor trainer. And then they become the trainers to teach instructors how to instruct. So there's always a path for you to move up in. Even in our disaster program, there's 23 areas that people can volunteer in our disaster program. And you can move up as much as you want or not as much as you want. We have a lot of local volunteers who respond to disasters here. And then we have probably 8 that have been trained at the national level, so they go out on national disasters.
Right, yeah. And I remember in the previous years, I think, was it Hurricane Gustav, it was.
Katrina and Rita.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You've had groups that have gone on to help there. So it's not just in our own backyard.
No.
You guys are going everywhere.
We are. And that's wonderful because, 23 years ago when I started working here, I didn't think we would ever have volunteers who would even want to go beyond our borders. But now we do, and it's extraordinary the stories they bring back. And then they bring back ideas on how we can improve what we do here from other chapters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons that, you grow. I remember years ago I had a volunteer at Plattsburgh Air Force Base, and we were driving to some event, and she said to me, "Why do you have volunteers for disaster, and then why do you have volunteers for the service to military program?" And I said, "Well, that's just how I inherited it." And she said, "Well, when we were in Alaska, we used to do both." I said, "Really? Makes sense." So we pulled together all of our volunteers that are involved in that part of the program, and they thought, they all had a light bulb moment like I did. It was like, whoa, yeah. So, but we have about 25 volunteers who go on call at 4:30 in the afternoon when the office closes and are on call until 8:30 in the morning, and they are on call on weekends. We have 3 volunteers who are at the consultant level, so that if one of our caseworkers runs into some kind of a problem, they can call that person, and then in the end, if I have to be called, that's just part of what I do.
Right.
But that's an extraordinary part of what we do, is that the Disaster Services Program, our Armed Forces Emergency Services Program, which is probably one of our best-kept secrets, and the Lifeline Program are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And you also have that. There's a book that's out there, an emergency preparedness book.
Yes, we did that in partnership with the United Way.
Now, that was prompted, am I right, was that prompted by the ice storm?
It certainly was.
Yeah. If everybody out there hasn't remembered the ice storm of 98, you either weren't around or you were not paying attention,
or you weren't paying attention for a month. Yes, as a matter of fact, there's a tremendous amount of cooperation in this area with agencies, because we all have limited resources. And so we all learned how to play well in the sandbox and share years and years and years ago. Yeah. And every time something comes up where there's a need, there's a group of us who will pull together the people who can make a difference. And during the ice storm, I think that was probably our largest test of this community. And if nothing else, I think we did an extraordinary job in getting through it and surviving and having positive things come from that. And one of those things, as you mentioned, was the book, the preparedness book. And that was funded through New York State and the United Way and the Red Cross, the Director of Emergency Services, and the county administrator actually sat down in a planning session at the Red Cross, and we put that book together, and we published it, and I know that for Mike Mannix and myself, we took it and gave it to every other United Way or Red Cross chapter that we came across.
Mm-hmm.
It has never been copyrighted so that people can use it. The idea came from the United Way in Florida, where Hurricane Andrew had hit, and they had done the same kind of thing in that community, and Mike had been at a conference and had seen that, and he thought that was a great opportunity for us to educate our community about being prepared in your own home first. And so, and we just published it again, because obviously things had changed since 1998.
Sure.
Huge changes
in
preparedness. And so it was published again 2 years ago, and we think that, again, we upgraded it. And what was extraordinary was, if you look and go through the first book, one of the things that we felt was an awareness of kinds of disasters, one of the things that we listed was terrorist attacks. And we have no idea why we thought that that was something that should be in the first book, but there it was. So we have copies here. I know the United Way has copies, so if people want to pick one up, if you haven't gotten one, there's some really good information in there.
It's a great idea to have one of those on hand.
And so we're very proud of that, because I think that's something that the community really, you know, in this day and age, you don't know. I mean, look at the snowstorm we had on the 24th, and I know there are lots of chapters to the south of me that are struggling still with more snow coming down.
Right.
And I don't think that you can ever ignore the fact that you need to be prepared in your own home or your own business, for that matter.
Now, obviously, in the past few years, the economy has, you know, seen, you know, this terrible, you know, slide. You know, and I know obviously organizations, nonprofits especially, are seeing, you know, dips in, you know, the amount of money raised for them and whatnot. How has the local Red Cross chapter fared with donations in recent years?
Actually, the last couple of years we're maintaining. We're very happy about that. People have our community has supported us, because we don't get dollars from the federal government, and we get a grant from the state. But other than that, all of the dollars that we use to do what we do in the North Country, we count on the local community to provide that. Now, we do fundraising events, and we do those are coming up. This is the time of the year that ours fall into. But one of the things that we have started this year was a Claire Barton Society, and that is to have a commitment from a person for 3 years. And that way we're hoping that we can sustain some financial goals here, create financial stability is what I meant to say. Our goal for the founding members was 15, and we have 10. So that's extraordinary, I think.
Good,
and I continue to meet with people and talk about the Clara Barton Society and how they can become a part of it if they choose to. Our largest signature event is in March during Red Cross Month, and that's called Fire and Ice. Uh-huh. And that came after the ice storm. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Unlike other Fire and Ice events that other chapters have, ours is pretty low-key. It's a Texas barbecue theme. People wear jeans and cowboy hats and whatever. We want people to be comfortable. We have two auctions, a silent and a live. We have a Texas barbecue buffet.
Ah.
And Steve Martin is our auctioneer, and he's been great, and he donates his time and everything for this event for us. We're very blessed.
Now, what day is that coming up?
It's coming up on Saturday, March the 27th. It's going to be at the Westside Ballroom again this year. We still have tickets, and we sell business tables for local businesses, and people can call me and find out the details of that. Yes, and we usually have around 250 people there, so it's quite a large event. A couple of years ago, Matt Spiegel, another supporter of the chapter, started Cinco de Mayo, and that is obviously the first weekend in May.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of fun, and it's really low-key. We have a band that performs, and people buy tickets, and they come, and it's just a fun event, you know, that you come to, and we are getting ready right now for our third annual Ride for the Red, that is going to be on Sunday, June the 13th, again at the West Plattsburgh Legion are hosting us. For the riders and the volunteers that work that day, we have a barbecue at the end of it, so that show our appreciation. And again, the local community supports that, because all of the barbecue food was donated last year, so what more could you ask for?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And so those are some of the things that are coming up. October, we'll be doing Adopt a Day of Disaster again. That's during Fire Prevention Month. We think it's important that, you know, it costs us about $700 to $750 to help a family through a disaster. That would be a family of four. But we do help with emergency food and clothing, and we do, if they need a place to stay for a couple of nights, we will house them in a hotel. But it all costs money. So those are some of the reasons that we do try to raise the money for. Obviously, we try to raise money also for training of the volunteers, because what we do is very important, and in some cases is saving lives. And you need to be trained to do that where someone can't get hurt.
Yeah, that's true. And that's important, you know, for people who are out there thinking this organization runs on its own. You have to be there to support it. That's one of the things that we try to, you know, obviously emphasize in programs like this, to let people know what's going on in the community and organizations like the Red Cross. Definitely, if you haven't looked into the Red Cross, go to their website, northcountryredcross.org. It'll give you all great, you know, amount of information about upcoming events. The chapter itself, there's a nice little history section on there, which, you know, Jeannie has touched on with our interview today. Or you can also give them a call. The 561-7280 is the number here. Or you can also stop by their offices, and they're located where, Jeannie?
13 Guy Way off of Bridge Street.
You can't miss it.
You can't miss it.
You'll see it. Well, excellent. And thank you again for your time, Jeannie.
Thank you,
thank
Jeremiah.
Thank you for sharing it with everybody here. And again, I'm your host, Jeremiah Papanoff. Thank you for listening to North Country Commerce.
This program has been a production of Hall Communications, Burlington, Plattsburgh.